Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, we missed this last week. Tampa Bay running back Michael Pittman pled guilty to endangerment. And what is endangerment? That's when you take your Hummer and you ram it into a car carrying your wife and your two-year-old son and a babysitter. That's endangerment. That's insane is what it is. It could be called attempted murder, as far as I'm concerned, but it's called endangerment, and the Tampa Bay team attorneys, I'm sure, lent their voices to this. Anyway, Pittman's going to be in uniform for the Bucks next year as they head back into the toilet there in the National Football Conference. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry, and welcome to This Week in the NFL. Coming up, we're going to have Robert Greene and the company softball team that is mandatory to play on, including that old lady who's about 60 who has diabetes. He wants her out there taking at least one cut at the plate. Otherwise, baby, he's going to lose to that Chinaman that took all that business away from him. He's got this company softball team, and that Chinee, Kenmore Foods, he took all that gourmet Oriental stuff out of there. He's bugged. Dean Wheeler is going to be back with us. The anti-war movement in America, it is so high-minded and so moral that even if it means putting Saddam Hussein back into power in Iraq, it's better than what President Bush did, and that was send us to war under the guise of things that didn't exist, telling us lies, in other words. Why did he lie? He lied, and that's so bad. Put that guy back in power in Iraq. Back in Iraq, baby. And he also wants to lend money to some frog attorney, and naturally it would be a frog, who wants to defend Saddam Hussein, some guy named Jacques something. Jacques de Douche, something like that. Jacques Le Douche. Oh, wait a minute.
FCC?
Yeah.
No, you can't say douche.
Okay, that's, I just wanted to. But anyway, Michael Pittman, he's the star running back there in the NFL, and why do I make a big deal out of this? Why can't I just let this go away? Nobody really noticed it last week except the local media in Tampa. All Pittman did. By the way, why are they called Tampa Bay? Why not just Tampa? What do you guys want to give St. Petersburg the credit to? You're the Tampa Buccaneers, okay? If you got to sound gay, why do you drag St. Petersburg into it? This coming also hot on the heels of an announcement that the National Football League is considering expanding their playoffs, adding more teams, so they can be just like the National Hockey League. That means like four teams don't make the playoffs. Among the many things that I have a problem with in hockey, it's that idiotic playoff structure they got. You want to know why Anaheim made a run at the Stanley Cup last year? Because they let in 9 million teams into the playoffs. And by the way, way to go, Ducks. 1 year after making that Stanley Cup run, you're out of the playoffs this year. All right! Man, that's what I call consistently solid quality hockey. What?
Well, same thing happened to the Bucks.
Well, you got a point. You know what I think they ought to do? I think they ought to expand the playoffs in the National Hockey League, or National Football League. Add a few more hockey teams. What's happened to the rest of these dirtbags that were up on charges? What about that guy that had that child abuse thing? You know, as we get closer to football camp, because I couldn't care less about basketball and hockey, as you well know, we're going to be leaning heavily on our friends in the National Football League, and we're going to be pulling up the crime report on every last one of them scum. Pittman was indicted in June on two counts of aggravated assault for ramming his Hummer into a Mercedes carrying his wife, his two-year-old son, and his babysitter, Christina Hegland. Sounds like one of them au pairs from, like Norway, don't it? You know, I'm serious. You get all those au pairs over here from Sweden. You go down to Piedmont Park in Atlanta on a Sunday afternoon with the sun shining and everything is bright with the world. And if you're a young man, the pickings are thick through there, man. All those au pairs with the baby strollers, they're all about 19, 20 years old. When I say young man, I mean, you know, 40, 45. You can go on through there and get yourself a date for a night or two. Pittman was previously convicted of domestic violence because the last year's crash fell within 5 years of Pittman's previous domestic violence conviction. Prosecutors were able to file an additional charge of aggravated domestic violence. In other words, this guy is a chronic abuser. As a condition for his release, he's not allowed to have contact with the victims. Lots of luck. Every time you say to some guy that has done something violent toward a wife or a child, you can't go near him, that you're guaranteeing that he's going to try to make contact. Guaranteed. You're not allowed to go near him, huh? Pittman played four full seasons with the Arizona Cardinals. a semi-pro team operating out of Phoenix. And then he signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a free agent in 2002. It's been a while since we'd heard from this guy. But he's been convicted of endangerment. You know, you want to make sure that some guy, you want to make sure a man kills his wife, his ex-wife, or whatever she is his estranged wife. Tell him that he can't go near her. Put a restraining order on him. That'll do it. When are those guys ever going to get the word, I don't know which way, which language, or how it's going to be delivered to them, that restraining orders aren't worth the paper? They're probably not, they're worth less than the paper they're written on. Go ahead, lay a restraining order on some psycho. You're going to get into trouble if you go near her. Oh, yes, sir. As I've always said, and I'll repeat this because it's my Monday morning bit of advice to all of the ladies out there, all of the women that got a guy bothering them. Here's what you do. This is all you do. You don't do this. First of all, you make everybody on the street aware that your ex-husband is bugging you. In fact, make everybody at work aware of it. Make everybody on the street aware of it. Make everyone you know aware of it. Number two, I'm sure you've got some big strapping male friends, either at the office or whatever. They go to your house. They have baseball bats. When the husband shows up and he's within the prescribed distance, and I don't know what it is, 100 yards, 600 feet, 3 inches, whatever the hell it is, the minute he comes within that area, you go over to his car and you take out the headlights first, rearview mirrors, then start working on the back window, and then start working on the windshield. And he'll just be sitting in there drumming his fingers on the steering wheel as you're doing it. Whack, 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 right? And if he tries to complain to the coppers, he was within the thing, see? So he gets popped, I guess, theoretically. And that's what you do. Like I said, you know, sometimes a baseball bat and a very good intention is the best possible, problem solver in life. Boy, Henry, you really come right out of the gate charging, man, with these violent solutions to things. Look, it's the world we're living in, kids. I wish everything was as sweet and beautiful and as light as sunshine, but it ain't. I got a 12-year-old daughter who's going to be 13. You think I don't know about violence? You think I don't know about people being psycho? Ha-ha! Man, is she going nuts. She's got the whole attitude thing going on. You know, anybody got a 12-year-old daughter out there? Now here's what it is. Pick up those clothes over there.
Okay.
Hey, I said to pick...
I heard you!
Catherine, pick up the clothes.
Mom told me to go and do something else, and now you're telling me something else, and I just know what to do anymore.
Yeah, I know. Life is a horrible thing.
Yes!
I got news for you. It's going to get a lot worse. What did she have last weekend? She had a bee sting on her foot all weekend long with the bee sting. Hey, could you pick up your clothes and also that vomit on the rug and the cat crap in your room? And could you also wipe the blood off the window and the beer bottles and all of the stuff that you're allowed to have?
I got a bee sting on my foot.
I heard about the bee sting 5 days ago. Is it still there?
It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. That's one of the... You know the thing about kids? Which... Adults don't even get this, so we should start teaching our kids this early. Otherwise, they're going to grow up to be the dumb adults that you and I are, right? Pain is not necessarily bad. Pain is pain. Pain tells you something hurts. You must do something about the thing that hurts. Just to say that it hurts. It hurts. I told you to put the bee sting stuff on it, a little bit of vinegar, just some of that astringent, and get that poison right out of it.
But it hurts.
Well, okay, that's right. It's your body telling you that it's working.
It hurts.
You want to know what's going to hurt? This is going to hurt, Alice. And they say it only gets worse. You got a teenage daughter, like 12, 13, 14. Well, on a whole show. What was the show? 8 Things Not to Do with My Kid. What was it? 8 Rules for
Dating. Eight Simple Rules for Dating My
Sister. 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Sister. Or My Daughter. My Mother. My Wife. 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Daughter? For bathing my daughter. What show was that anyway? Poor John Ritter. They always put him in it. He always had to carry some half-assed vehicle. But true to his talent, he always did it. 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Daughter. And the whole reason why that show's on the air and why it's such a hit is anybody that's got a teenage daughter, they know it's unbelievable. What do you got, a son coming, Mark? He don't know yet. You better hope it's a freaking boy. Let me tell you what, they're easy, man. When they get into teenage years compared to the girls, which is always, no. One day I'll never forget, I was talking to her. And another thing, Catherine, I want to have this, that, and something else. And she started moving. And you stand there and you listen to me while I'm talking to you, young lady. Now then, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this, you have to do that, that. Or you are not going to get your allowance this week. She stands there for about 2 seconds, looks at me and goes, fine, keep my allowance, and walks away. And I just broke down and wept. I wept. I just dropped to one knee, buried my face in my hands, and just shuddered with the sobs that just overcame me. Just. So that was my weekend. How was yours? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bob Green will be with us to talk about the beauty, the wonder, the all-encompassing glory that is softball. It's that time of year, folks. And also Dean Wheeler on the morality of the anti-war movement and how they're so high-minded that they just believe that lying to get us into the Iraq war was wrong, and therefore Saddam Hussein should be put back in power. Ain't that the way all you guys who are against the war feel? Sure it is. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Anybody see Sopranos last night? I don't know what the... I like it, but I hear people saying they don't like it as much as last year, and I don't know what that means. Is there not enough bloodshed or something? I think there's some interesting stuff going on. It's a character study. It's not just your shoot 'em. For a lot of people who got turned on to Sopranos late, it ain't the freaking Godfather, okay? It's the story of a guy who has to head up two families. One, a crime family. The other, his own family. And last night, I'm telling you, it's a chapter out of my life. He's in there talking with the teacher about the kids' grades. I mean, this is, we're all living it, aren't we? It's many of us, I should say, not the ne'er-do-wells like Janice and Mark. And then AJ is a real piece of crap now. He's giving lip to his mother. And this is something, my wife's going through this, right? I don't want to bore you with the details of my family, but frankly, I don't feel like talking about anything else right now, okay? I mean, I've done all I can to try to change the world with regard to America, the world, and the economic and everything. You know, who cares? I don't give a crap. One way or the other, we're all going to see the end of the day, right? Right! But my eldest son is going off to college next year, and my wife this past weekend was in tears every other second. What did I do? Did I fart again? What did I do? I'm sorry, so was a bean fart, whatever. It's not that! What, honey? Well, my firstborn is going away. I understand. Her firstborn is going away. You remember the little feet sort of padding along the household, along the hallway there on the newly laid parquet floor that you and your husband laid delicately? You were young then, a young couple. Yes, he was just a little bouncing baby boy, bounding up and down on your knee, wetting it occasionally, but mostly a polite child. And he grew to be larger, and all of the little things that happened, and you know, you watch your kid grow. And last night in The Sopranos, Carmela goes through one of those moments when she sees her, all of a sudden she imagines AJ going down the driveway on a big wheel. Why does she fear for his safety? Why was she shocked at remembering that moment when he went down the driveway in a big wheel too fast? Because he's moved in with his father. AJ has moved in with Tony Sr., or Tony, whatever the hell they call him, and so now the kid is, she feels endangered, although it looks like Tony's going to whip him into shape because the kid was sitting up, farting, drinking, Diet Cokes and watching baseball, and then his old man looks at him and says, now get your Spanish homework done, and he looks at his dad like you're kidding. This is exactly the way it is under mom. And he goes, well, yeah, guess what? It ain't changing. Now go do it. So I think he's going to be okay. I think the old man's going to be fine. What do you guys care, right? You don't even know what show I'm talking about. It's got about a 0.5 rating. What am I talking about The Sopranos for? It's on cable, Janice. It's got tops 10 million viewers. Tops 10 million. Yeah, it's a big hit in our minds and in our hearts, but compared to American Idol, there's about as many guys watching that as are listening to freaking Bob Edwards on NPR. Oh, you mean he got fired? Well, then used to. But anyway, if you did miss Sopranos, you missed the high point of the night was David Lee Roth was in a poker party scene. You know the poker parties that they have there at the Bada Bing? Roth is in this, and whatever that wig he was wearing, you know what? I got to hand it to him. He was making fun of his own image because he had the big blonde surf fright wig, and underneath you could see the black hair. And obviously he did it on purpose. Obviously, he had to have done it on purpose because somebody from makeup or somewhere had to say, Mr. Lee Roth or Mr. Roth or however you want to be called.
It's Lee Roth.
Okay. I can see total black hair. The wig is just slipping. It's down the side of your face. No, I like it that way.
It's a character thing?
Yeah. They had some cameos last night, not only David Lee Roth, but Lawrence Taylor. And they were even making black jokes. They were, and Taylor didn't care. You love that? They're making all these Italians are sitting around with their some of their Jewish friends, and they're playing cards, and Taylor's there, and I guess he's the big star. You know, they're very honored to have him. He's the former New York Giant football player, and he's everything and that they all wanted to be. But they're making a couple of jokes about blacks, and Taylor's there going, laughing at it. Like, that's how desperate he is to play cards with guys in the mafia? You realize that's the case, though. Some of these guys, like especially a lot of these African-American athletes, I don't mean to, you know, talk out of school, but I mean they are. A lot of these guys just love the idea of the mafia. They like the whole, they love the whole sort of powerful strut and the base of power that those guys have, which is at once illicit and yet sort of legitimate. At once it is evil and yet it's just so slamming. You know, it's just lots of bling-bling, a lot of striped suits, and it's just sort of everything that a lot of some of these guys want. I'm saying athletes now, particularly National Football League black players. They all want to be in the mafia. And so they'll even suffer through jokes at their expense just to sit down and play cards with a bunch of greasy mobsters. Now think about that. How bad do you want to be in the... First of all, you ain't never going to get in, because you got to be not only white, you got to be Sicilian or something, right? You know, Janice, you're Italian. You can't be Canadian. You got to be Sicilian. Is there a mafia in Canada? And if there is, how many guys are in it? So, this guy's sitting there, and he's listening to all these... Because these guys have got all the manners of a stevedore. These guys have got absolutely no manner at all. They're just big, loud slobs. And they're making all these jokes about spook this and spade that. Seriously. I was shocked. I put my hands over my ears. I was so shocked. And there's Taylor all... So, you see what I'm saying? In other words, it just depends on who's telling the joke. Now, you're either the kind of person that can get away with that kind of joke, or you're not. You have to determine, are you the kind of person that can get away with that kind of joke, or are you not? And are you the kind of person that will sit still for a joke like that, or are you not? If you're the kind of person that can get away with a joke like that, you're probably in the mafia. If you're the kind of person that will not sit still for a joke like that, I wouldn't advise you playing cards with anybody in the mafia. So that was last night's Sopranos. But anyway, AJ's leaving. It was reminding me of my poor little wife who's, you know, our guy's, he's going off to Syracuse next year. God bless him. And he's milking it for all it's worth. He keeps reminding me that he's 18 and therefore he should be allowed to smoke one of those cigars that I have in a humidor. I go, all right, go ahead. And can my friend Justin have one too? Is he 18? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Go ahead. Oh, what about Eddie? Well, how many guys out there are 18? Pretty soon it's like a mafia poker game out there. So he wants to be a man, he wants to smoke cigars, and he wants to stay out all night, but if I ask him to, like, empty out a cat box because it's his cat, oh, no, wait, I got, what are you talking about? Do I have to do that, too? Yeah, it's one of the things of manhood is you gotta sift a few cat turds in your life, man. Figuratively and literally. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD is available, The Death of Talk Radio. Pick it up at 877-616-7445.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
On our show tonight, Robert Greene is the CEO of Fraser Foods. They have a company softball team, which is mandatory for you to play on. If you're a checker, a bagger, whatever you do at his grocery store, you also have to play in a company softball team. It was particularly galling to have five of them say they couldn't make it last Tuesday night because the game was against Kenmore Foods, a company run by an Asian American named Donald Lee, who used to be one of his suppliers, but then, as Bob puts it, quote, stuck the Chinese knife in his back, end quote, and went off and formed his own store. So it's very important that Fraser Foods beats Kenmore Foods every time they play in the Metro Softball League. Well, something went wrong, and they lost again, 10th time in a row. So Bob will tell us why he's laid off five of his workers. Also, Dean Wheeler to talk about his committee. It's called U.S. Out of Iraq Committee. And they're seriously considering donating money to the defense of Saddam Hussein in any possible war crimes trial, because if it was immoral for the United States to go into Iraq and illegal, as he and other anti-war people, he says, believe, then they owe it to Mr. Hussein to put him back into power. Right now, though, we've got a flashback from our show last week, one of our shows last week. Herb Sewell, an interesting guy, was on. He's a talent agent. And he tried signing Paris Hilton, but she declined. And he doesn't care because he thinks Paris Hilton is a slut and is terrible and her show's terrible. And she wouldn't even sign his autograph, even though he stood 40 minutes in the rain waiting for it.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This guy is ridiculous. He needs good psychiatry.
No, I know that I... Please don't call me crazy.
I'm not calling you crazy.
Well, why do you say I need a psychiatrist? I know that I'm dirt. I know that I'm not worthy. I know that. Isn't that enough?
But why do you put yourself through this? That is ridiculous. You are just ha-ha, very unfunny, and you need some help because you're really...
You know the help that I need. You know they
you're
help
jealous
that.
Because you cannot have her life, and you
that's
are
right.
close
you
to
said.
Being a stalker.
Yeah, you said that. You were like you're on the outside looking in.
I want it, you see. Is that a freight train behind you? Because I swear to God, I hear... Brenda?
Yes, there is
oh,
a train. I'm outside.
Oh, my God, it's lovely, the sound of a freight train. It reminds me of my youth. It reminds me of my youth. I used to hop freight trains up in Santa Barbara near the trestles and take them into the rail station downtown. And I would speak to all the hobos and all of the bums. And
you are a sick man. You are really
why is that,
sick.
I don't understand why that's sick. I categorically reject that. I'm trying to be friendly with you. Why won't you be my friend? Why won't you be my friend? Are you speaking to the train conductor?
Okay. I'm on my job, and I was trying to find out why this gentleman was parked out here that wasn't...
I went through extreme pain walking home through Koreatown in a chihuahua costume.
You're really deranged, and you are close to being a stalker. I don't blame her
I'm
for not having
stalked.
Anything
I have
to
not
do
stalked
you.
Her. I got into a chihuahua suit and walked home in a forlorn, completely depressed manner through Koreatown, Los Angeles, which is highly dangerous, in a dog costume. I could have been rolled.
Maybe you should have been.
So you wish
it
ill on me.
You
Brenda,
senses.
I have said to you, I categorically reject that I'm crazy, but I know that I'm filth. I know I'm scum. Doesn't that satisfy you? Do you want more? Why don't you put the spear in my side?
Yeah, I need you to get off the air and let somebody have a shot at a conversation that's worth something, because this is ridiculous.
Ma'am, I told you that I'm filth. You've put the spear in my side and given me vinegar to drink. You've pounded the final spike into my feet. And my mother, my sweet mother, the Virgin Mary, who can bring me...
Okay, this guy has flipped his lid.
This guy has flipped his lid. You need to get rid of him, Phil.
The Virgin Mary will bring me down.
I'm gone.
Paris, you're gone? So you admit you're crazy, and you sit by a train track judging me. You sit where the hobos sit. You sit where life's America's homeless, where America's lost men sit. And yet you...
Get out of here!
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold!
Yeah, he's nuts. That's Herb Sewell, who stalked Paris Hilton, and he found out that she has a pet chihuahua. You didn't hear that part. And she loves this Chihuahua, so he went and got a Chihuahua costume from the costume company and sat on a park bench out in front of a store in Beverly Hills, hoping that she'd think that that was her dog and she'd take him home. When she didn't, he walked forlornly through Koreatown in a dog outfit. The dog's name is Tinkerbell. So Herb is gone, man. But he's a hell of an agent. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show coming up is Bob Green about his company softball team and Dean Wheeler with bringing morality back to America by making us feel better by giving money to Saddam for his defense. Now, this story from last week, it was boring, but trying to find a more opportune time to talk about it. It's no big thing to most of us in America because it's only affecting, a few million drivers back in Connecticut. But they've closed Interstate 95 in Connecticut, portions of Connecticut, and people are only going to be able to take city streets and back streets after a fiery tanker truck crash that's snarled traffic for weeks. I looked at this story and I thought, this is a story that's just got to do with an interstate being closed down by a fiery tanker truck crash. And then I realized how fortunate those people were back in Connecticut. How absolutely fortunate beyond words. Lady Luck has smiled on you. You were born with a horseshoe parked somewhere deep and wide, man. Lady Luck has smiled. Do you know? Do you understand how lucky you are that I-95 is shut down? I'll tell you why. Number one. Somebody is going to get the bright idea that maybe you need another interstate. That's number one. Number two, people may start taking a train more, and they'll start updating the tracks. What do they got now? Metro North and Amtrak back there? And finally, I-95, if it's anything like the 405 right behind me, is probably just a living hell on wheels, man, every day. And just to get the break, even if it's just a few months from something like that, ought to make you live 10 to 20 years longer. If only a tanker truck would blow up on the 405. By the way, you're totally going to disagree with me, but I know what I'm talking about. Every time you hear about a tanker truck blowing up, someone in a car caused that accident. Don't even worry about it. Don't even bother arguing with me about it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what you think about unions. The fact is that most of those drivers out there are Teamsters. They are union drivers, which means they are trained professionals. They don't just all of a sudden jackknife their truck because they're stupid. No, here's what happens. Down the number 4 or 5 or the slow lane, whatever it is, comes the tanker truck, filled to the brim with highly toxic flammable gasoline. The driver, with both hands on the wheel, is looking at the road ahead. He's traveling, perhaps at an excessive rate of speed, but when it comes to truckers, you understand that time is money, baby. And also, not only is time money, but getting the freight to where it's supposed to be helps you and I, especially gasoline. Along he goes, maybe it's 60, and popping right out in front of him, swinging onto the freeway at either too slow a rate of speed or coming in too close is either Mrs. America there in her SUV with a 19 screaming brats in the back, dumbbell salesman who is going over his, a checklist in his mind of the things that he's got to do. Or worse yet, what I saw the other day, I had to see it with my own eyes to believe it, because somebody told me they've seen this before. I never saw this. Somebody reading a book or a magazine, reading while they're driving. Now, I know this makes me completely alone. I understand that I'm totally alone in not understanding this. But I still have to shriek almost to a shrill pitch when I see someone, and this lady that did it in front of me the other day, it took every bit of willpower for me not to cut in front of her, force her car to a stop, pull her out of the car, and throw her off the bridge onto the freeway below. Every bit of willpower. Instead, I just waved and said, "Hi, how are you? That's a beautiful car. Thank you." And I just kept driving. When you hear about a tanker truck blowing up, man, it's Charlie there in the car that caused it. Some dumbbell in a car. And these guys that keep saying we should ban tanker trucks from the freeways, we got to do is ban half of these jackballs in cars. But having said all of that, I hope it happens on the 405 real soon. Because the sooner they shut that freeway down, the sooner we all get to take the Sepulveda Pass and never get to work. Hey! Which is fine by me. No kidding, man. You know what? Within the last 3 years, two tanker trucks have blown up on the freeway not 2 miles from my house. Now, the first one happened when I told you guys, I was getting Christmas presents. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. Maria's taking a nap. The kids were all very small then, so they were squirreling around someplace. And I went off to the store, to Toys R Us, to get a bunch of Christmas presents, right? I'm driving home, and as I'm coming down the street, the freeway's not more than a half a mile to my left, and I see a plume of black, thick, oily smoke going up in the air. Naturally, being the curious looky-loo type, I took off at high speed to go look at it. Well, I went down to the street, turned left, and it's an overpass that a truck had exploded underneath. And flames were leaping, and it was one of those things that just so quick, it so recently happened, you could hear the pockets of fuel blowing up in the tank. So every now and again, you could hear this boom, boom, this plosive, explosive sound coming from within the tank. Lots of people stopped, 20 cars stopped, people running over there. What does brain surgeon here do? To get a better look, now keep in mind that the truck has exploded underneath the overpass. That means that you've got flames with temperatures in excess of thousands of degrees cooking the underside of the overpass, right? I drive across the overpass, and I get halfway across, and I go, what the hell are you doing, Henry? The thing was, you know, I'm lucky it didn't melt the tires. Guess what caused it? Some dumb kid coming out in his mommy's blazer, comes swinging onto the freeway, and this guy had to lock it up, jackknife the trailer. The trailer flips end over, flips side over side, and blew up. Now, fortunately, the driver of the truck was fine. Now, oh, you want to know what happened to the kid? You don't want to know. No, you don't want to know. Let me just put it this way. Have you ever seen Santa Maria Tri-Tip Extra Chard? See, the proof of what I'm talking to you about is this. Every time you hear about one of these trucks blowing up, find out how the driver is of the truck. 9 times out of 10, the guy's okay. He's fine. He's a pro. And 9 times out of 10, if there's a fatality, it's dumbbell in the car. And I hate to say this, but 9 times out of 10, dumbbell in the car caused it. So what's the point that I'm trying to make? Let's shut all the freeways down, please, except for truck traffic. 1-800-449-8686. Bob Green and Dean Wheeler ahead on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got a story here about watermelon and fried chicken, but first, Eddie Van Halen joins us. Eddie, did you see David Lee Roth in Sopranos?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
Well, I thought he looked, I thought he, you know, a bit of us.
Well, but don't you think he looked ridiculous on purpose? In other words, he put the wig on?
Well, if you know people that I do, you know he's got a very big ego.
Well, the cat's got a big ego, but he's also a performer, so he knows what it takes to be in character. He's got the wig. Does he look like that in real life?
Yeah, he's got a comb over. He's got the glue over.
Glue over?
Yeah, because he's bald, but it takes up like 3 strands of hair, glue over.
All right, Eddie, thank you very much. It's good to see you again, man. And for you people who are wondering, Eddie lost part of his tongue to cancer. But you guys are on tour with Sammy this summer, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I'm going to be looking at the thing. And a few of the tour dates are.
But you're going to play L.A. when?
We're going to play L.A. in August.
All right. Here is a story. The Tennessee Department of Health. What are you doing here, bud?
Well, you said something about fried chicken and watermelon.
Oh, is that your area of expertise?
No. It's just race relations is.
Race relations? Really? You know, I don't even want you in here talking about this because I know what a racist you are.
I'm not. I'm taking racial sensitivity.
I don't give a crap if you're taking racial sensitivity. I don't want you in here when I'm talking about fried chicken and watermelon. Now get out of here. Go with Eddie.
You gotta come with me.
And I want to go with Eddie. He doesn't have. He's weird to listen to. He scares me.
Come on. I'll buy you a cup of coffee.
Whatever that means.
Anyway, the Tennessee Department of Health pulled a radio public service ad yesterday. Now, there is a high level of heart disease and diabetes in the state of Tennessee, and actually nationally among African Americans, especially African American men. And this is an area where at least the Department of Health in that state wants, they want to target African-American listeners and let them know about the high risk of heart disease and diabetes. So they came on with a public service announcement encouraging listeners to, quote, try baking your chicken, eating a fresh tossed salad on the side, and scrumptious watermelon for dessert, end quote. Now, true to form, true to the form of the American people, somebody called and complained. Never mind they're trying to get out a message about health. They called because he didn't dig the chicken and watermelon thing. So what does radio do? Well, naturally, radio never stands up for itself. You know, if you told radio to go ahead and take that guy there and stick him into that boxcar because he's got a yellow star on his jacket, radio would go right ahead and do it if that's what the man wants. So when somebody called up and said, hey, that's racist, they pulled the ads immediately because God forbid anybody should get upset. Now, funny thing, when they ran the ads past certain so-called leaders of the African-American community, preachers, civic leaders, and the like, they all said, it's fantastic. We love the ad. What's the problem? He said, tell him to put it back, said Reverend Enoch Fuzz. Reverend Fuzz said, African-Americans are dying at a much higher rate than other populations. We got to get around that. So if you got to put on the water, chicken and watermelon ad, go ahead and lay it on there, man, because the people have got to begin to see that this is a very dangerous thing. Diabetes, heart disease, and targeting the black community. Now, I don't want to jump in. I'm just going to say this, okay? You heard Bud. The minute I say watermelon and chicken, he comes running in with a big grin on his face, like, here we go. He's rubbing his hands together. The reason for that is this. You ought to know by now, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're with the Public Service Department of Tennessee or any other public service agency, you ought to know by now to certain buzzwords. Who are you people hiring to do your copywriting for you? Who? Yeah, the guy said it's okay, but do you need this kind of grief? When you're talking to a black audience, don't throw watermelon and chicken into the ad. What are you laughing at, bud?
I agree with everything you're saying.
Get out of here, white boy. No, you just don't do it. I don't give a crap if they're overreacting or underreacting. If you're trying to get your message across, what's the point of offending people? See what I'm saying? If you're an advertiser, the first thing you want to do is make people want to listen to you, don't you? Isn't that the ground rules of advertising? So, you know, when you're targeting a certain audience, it's like saying, hey, all you Mexicans out there, the next time you have a tamale for breakfast and maybe some menudo, try to use some chili. It thins out the blood. And all you Italians, the next time your big fat-ass Mamma Mia puts some gravy on the stove, I mean, you don't do it. What are you laughing at, bud?
You said fat-ass.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
So much news going on. Bob Green of Fraser Foods joins us, the CEO of Fraser Foods, about the softball season.
That is right, Phil. A community softball season has started. And just a reminder to all of your listeners, a great way to become a part of your community.
Yeah, there's a lot of softball leagues all over the country and hundreds in each city, right?
Literally, Phil, there are many softball leagues. And our Orange County stores, we've got a collective team made up of our employees, the Fraser Foods team, and we're in the Metro League down here, and we play different businesses. One of the teams we enjoy playing is the guys from Kenmore Foods, which is a wholesale grocery in Santa Ana. And I don't know if you're into softball, Phil, yourself. Have you ever played?
You know, when I was younger, I was on a softball team. You know, we played like at the city parks and stuff like that. I don't have occasion to do that now, but, you know.
Well, let me tell you, listeners, it's a great sport. There's nothing like softball for total commitment and and community pride and pride in your business. And it's a very interesting game. It's not like hardball or what they play in Major League Baseball.
What makes your softball teams different? It's your softball team, I understand, it's mandatory?
That's correct. I like to think I can count on my employees. Softball is like no other sport. It takes total commitment year-round. I really don't appreciate it when my employees are not interested. I like to strategize Friday nights. My employees, I've invited them to strategy meetings on Friday night. And we want them to take part in our softball season. We play about 20 games. And I don't know if you're familiar with softball. It's one of the greatest team games around. I'm an avid softball fan. I used to go out and see a guy by the name of the King in his court. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah, that's the guy that with the fast pitch guy, right?
More than just a fast pitch guy, he could strike out major league hitters. That's how good this guy was. And they did a lot of exhibition tours. There's really nothing like it. And the great thing about company softball teams, especially, we play slow pitch.
Now, your team is co-ed?
It is a co-ed team, and there are a lot of co-ed teams. So the women and the men play together. It gives you a lot of pride in your company. What happened last Tuesday night, I was talking to Janice and you about earlier. I hope we never have to repeat that, because the pride in our company and our work is really what I'm going for.
All right, well, the Orange County papers had only part of the story. You had a game against Kenmore Foods. This is the longstanding rivalry.
Well, if you're getting it from the paper, I've known Don Lee from Kenmore since he was one of our suppliers, and he really got his start. What happened was this. Don is an Asian American. He got started with us when we ordered his gourmet foods, and then he leaves us. So get the picture. This guy built up his business with us, and then all of a sudden one day just stops and decides to go into business for himself. So we've always looked forward to our games with him, and yeah, it's a friendly rivalry, and when I think of how he sort of left us in the lurch, I guess it's probably not that friendly. They've won 9 games in a row. Last Tuesday night, my employees knew how important this game was, and I had 5 of them not show up.
Well, what has the problem with your company softball team been this mandatory aspect? You had 5 players not show up for this big game last Tuesday night, and they had excuses. I think one of them was apparently one of them was sick.
I've got checkers, I got baggers, they say one of them was sick.
I'm talking about Karen Garnett.
Karen Granite?
Yeah, Karen Granite.
Yeah, she's one of our checkers. The story is, being on our softball team is part and parcel of the job. We had a 7 o'clock game at 4:30 in the afternoon. I find out from 5 people they're not going to come. They've got other things they got to do. Now, we've got 15 full-time employees. When 5 of them say they can't make the game, what are you going to do? Everybody plays. That's the company policy.
So you put these people on suspension?
That is correct.
So 5 people who refused to play on the company softball team last Tuesday night were put on suspension. One of them is this woman, Karen Granite. She contacted my producer.
I heard about that.
Well, Karen is 57 years old. She's on insulin as a diabetic. And she told us she wasn't feeling well. She wanted to go home and rest. Did she tell you that?
Well, when you play in a co-ed league, you have to field at least 4 or 5 women on the team. Everyone on our staff contributes. And let me ask you this.
Well, did she tell you she wasn't feeling well?
Let me ask you this. If a commander in Iraq tells his soldiers you have to attack the enemy, and one of them says, oh, I'm not feeling well, I don't think that's going to work. And so... You see, if you stick the knife in my back, and this guy Lee over Kenmore Foods, he wins his 10th straight game against us. He continues to pour vinegar in the wounds that he opened up the day he stopped being one of our suppliers. I give these people...
Yeah, but she is an insulin-dependent diabetic who couldn't play. And the other two guys, my understanding was the other two men had been working overtime the previous 3 days and they needed the time off.
I give these people employment. So you're giving their side, and I want to give my side.
Yes, sir.
I give these people employment, health benefits. What they do for me is show up to work, and part of that is playing every Tuesday or Wednesday night in our Metro League. Are you familiar with softball? Because it doesn't sound to me like you are.
I'm familiar with the game, yes. I mean...
No, but are you familiar with the commitment that being on a community softball team takes? Anybody will tell you. And when this Asian gentleman, Don Lee, his team's won 10 straight... That's the vinegar in the wounds. What opened the wound up was him saying, I'm not going to supply anymore. I'm going into business for myself. So that was the spear in the side, and then the vinegar in the wounds was him winning 10 straight. And so that,
but this is a thing. All right, our phone number, Mr. Green, I'm going to give our phone number out for our listeners.
Certainly.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. We're talking with Robert Green of Fraser Foods. All right, you have a company softball team that it's mandatory to play on. I understand that. But even when someone is sick.
When someone is sick, look, all I'm asking is you take one crack, one turn at the bat. What I'm looking for in terms of commitment is one at bat. Now, Karen's a great checker. Karen's a loyal employee, but that's not enough. I need her to be there for these games. Okay, this guy, Lee, and his team, and I realize it probably doesn't, but they've won the Metro League 3 years in a row. And
do you play or do you manage, or do you do both?
Oh, I play and manage. I pitch as well as first base and on occasion, but I haven't called in sick. So what happened Tuesday, we got another year losing to this, you know, Chinese gentleman, and I've made it clear that I don't want these people to sue me. And that's just that. Otherwise, they're going to be on suspension. And what...
Okay, so your point of being on our show, and the reason why you did the media interviews today, is to say what? The commitment to the job?
It's a commitment to the job. It is a commitment to your community. It's not letting... Yeah, a lot of it's not letting this guy get away with what he did to me, which was...
Well, this is a personal thing, though, with you, this Mr. Don Lee. I'm asking about...
It's personal, yeah, but I expect my employees to back me up.
Yeah, but this guy took off, wasn't supplying you anymore, started a rival grocery chain. Does he do more business than you?
You know what? I don't really keep track too much of those numbers.
No, but I mean, is the guy hurting you in business?
I can tell you that he has done well, and the fact that he's got a great softball team, which happens to be one of my passions, softball, that is what hurts.
So the fact that you really like softball, Mr. Green, and is one of your avocations, and the fact that he beat you at it, really kind of sticks it in there a little bit.
That is correct, yeah.
And the fact that he does better business than you, all told... You're just angry that this guy wins, so you want a total commitment from your players. I understand that, but does a grocery checker really have to play on a company softball team?
Well, again, you have to be familiar with softball. It doesn't sound to me like you are. People that are on softball teams give it 100% commitment. The fact that this woman, Karen Garnett, won't play because she says she's got diabetes, I said you don't have to play. I could put you out in right field for one at bat. And she says no, and I said, "Are you?" And I asked her. I asked a lot of people, "Are you familiar with softball? Do you know how important it is?" And we've got millions of teams across this country, and she don't know. So I reluctantly had to put her on suspension until she begins to understand that the company softball team, while it may sound like not much of a thing to a lot of people, to some of us it matters. It matters a lot. And when I look at my employees and I say, okay, tonight's Tuesday night, and I'll expect you out there. We play over here at Schaefer Field, which is in the Valley, at 7 o'clock, and they all look at me like they're sort of disinterested. I think it's a real slap to the face, considering what I've done for them. Give them a job, insurance, all the things I outlined.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Really interesting story out of Buena Park. This Fraser Foods is a grocery store owned by Mr. Green, and he, along with his employees, play softball every Tuesday night. It's mandatory. And apparently he loves the game. They, last Tuesday night, had a game with a long-standing rival, a grocery chain that is owned by a guy that used to be one of his suppliers. So he's got kind of a personal rivalry going with this guy. And when five of his players said they couldn't show up, and I would say five of his employees, really, he put one of them on suspension, a woman who is diabetic. Now, I don't know where it's written, because you're employed by a company that you got to play on the company softball team, but in his business, you have to, even if it means risking getting suspended or fired. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here's to our phone calls. And well, Mr. Green, you've got a company softball team. A lot of companies do, but I don't think you can force people to play a game that they don't want to play. This woman was not well, one of your checkers. I know you have a co-ed softball team that you say is mandatory, but how can you force people to take part in an extracurricular or extra job?
Well, it is not extracurricular, as you put it. It is part of their job. And let me remind you of something, Mr. Henry, because I think this is going to clear some things up, some questions that you've had. We've got a job market right now, sir, where there's a lot of people out of work. And there are millions of Americans that would be very happy to take the job as a checker, a bagger at our grocery store, for instance, if all it meant was they had to play every Tuesday night on a softball team. And I would say,
well, that doesn't make any difference, the jobless claims in America. I mean, you go to work at the job.
And part of the job at Fraser Foods is playing on the company. Are you familiar with softball? Are you?
You've asked me that. Yes, I'm familiar with softball.
Well, it doesn't seem like you're familiar with softball to the point where you really love the game. Again, two things. The job market in America today, you're lucky if you can get a job picking vegetables, even with a lot of the illegals getting deported. So I find it fascinating, and I find it rude beyond all. And to make a job issue out of it really makes me angry. When these people could be out on the street, I could be hiring some people who would be happy to play on our softball team.
So no sympathy for a woman that's got diabetes.
I said the lady could play in right field for one at bat, but like I said, we got soldiers in Iraq right now. You think they go, oh, I can't attack the enemy today because I got a tummy ache. I think it's ridiculous.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Can a company force their employees to play on a softball team? Here is Nicole. Nicole, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
This is for Mr. Green.
Yes, ma'am. This is Bob Green.
You apparently love this game a lot.
Are you familiar?
I really admire that.
Are you familiar with softball?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But what I have to know from you, you like the game. Don't you want people who really love the game playing the game rather than forcing people?
One of the things I think about outside activities, outdoor, especially athletic activities, you really got to sort of, to coin a phrase, push their face into the trough. You really got to shove their face into it and get them wet, get them into it before they realize they like it. Because most people, if you say, here's a game we can play outdoors, we live in a day and age where everybody sits in front of a computer. And
yeah,
the idea
of, do you think you're hiring 2-year-old people? That, like, you're running a kindergarten? Like, you know, you can force them into doing these things? These are supposed to be extra activities that they should be allowed to do if they want to do.
Well, what do you mean, if they want to do it? 10 years running, this Asian chap has beaten me, and you're telling me I'm supposed to give them their choice?
You're supposed to give them a choice because you're a human being. I mean, where do you get off, like, checking, I mean, checkers? What are they? They're not human beings for you?
Of course they're human beings, but I give them jobs. I give them help.
Oh, so you need to start thinking for them now, huh?
No,
decide how what they do?
Nicole,
what kind of bedsheets they're going to be putting on today?
Are
you going to be saying, hey, paint your houses red because I see so. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I couldn't hear the lady.
Your car phone broke up a little, Nicole, but go ahead, Bob. Respond to what you didn't hear.
What I want to say is, Nicole, what do you do for a living?
Well, I manage a restaurant.
Okay, now what if they came to you and they said, Nicole, I'd like to manage the restaurant, and then Friday night we'd like to get out there and play touch football in a touch football league. That's part of your job.
You know, unfortunately for you, sir, my management or any company that actually works, or many people work, they do not have such ridiculous ideas. They won't because they're practical.
Do you know what touch football?
I mean, you know why the other guy probably does better than you?
You
because
don't...
he probably has more sense than you. You do love the game. I agree completely.
Do you
but
know?
But you don't have the basic sense.
Do you know football? Football? Touch football?
She knows what it is.
Do you know softball? So, and okay, I tell you what, Nicole, they don't have to play baseball. I'll fire them. And there's millions of people out of work in this country, and those other people go back home and shove insulin up their arm or heroin or whatever.
All those guys who are listening and are your employees, that you should sue your ass. I'm sorry.
Why would a father or a mother
have sue you so bad and take you down so bad that you
don't even think you know.
And you never play softball ever in your life?
You know, you come from India where they play cricket. I'm talking about baseball.
Yeah, but they don't force anyone to play cricket, okay?
Thank you. Thanks very much, Nicole. 1-800-449-8686. Charlene, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green of Fraser Foods.
Yeah, Mr. Green.
Yes, ma'am.
I love softball, and I would love to work for somebody who offered a softball team. But if I had to work for you, I would quit. And I would get everybody to quit so you wouldn't even have a food chain.
That's contradictory, what you just said. You love softball, and you'd love to work for a guy that had a team.
But I want the choice.
I'm that guy.
I want the choice. You don't get the choice. There's the difference.
You know what I can tell by the sound of your voice?
You take the love of the game away from the people.
No.
If I loved it, I wouldn't play for you.
You got to love the game.
I mean, if I would, I wouldn't play
it for you. This Asian guy, Don Lee, has beaten us 10 years in a row. He's humiliated us on the softball field, and right now, they're out, in terms of business, they're out supplying us now about 10%.
You know why?
And I could use you. By the sound of your voice, I bet you can hit the ball a long way.
I can't, and I would be a good... But you know why?
You sound like a power hitter.
You know why you can't win? It's because you don't let the people choose to play for you and work hard for you. They're not going to play the sport for you and for the love of the game if they're made to do that.
Sometimes, like I said to that Indian woman, you got to just shove their nose right into the trough and rub it around in the stuff.
That's why you're losing, though.
No.
That's why you can't win.
Well, what's your overall record?
Overall, we've been in the playoffs 4 years running. We won the league 2 years ago.
And who wins the league? Is it that Kenmore Foods?
Well, they won last year. They didn't win. They're not, we're both, you know, neck and neck. So, I mean, the reason why we do well is I kick rear ends. See, that's why.
You won't get to the very top because your employees probably do it on purpose.
What team do you play for?
If it's the most important to you, they go, forget it, we won't get it.
I'll replace those five people with immigrant workers. I'd rather give a Mexican that can play softballs some time on the floor or stock in the shelves than one of these white people that she's got diabetes. Yeah, right.
Well, you don't believe it? I mean, diabetes is pretty easy to check. You got to take insulin shots.
She's doing something in the bathroom. I don't know what it is.
All right, Charlene, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. What is she doing something?
She goes in, she says she needs insulin shots. I've always been suspicious of these people who say I got to take insulin. Because I don't know what they're doing in my bathroom while they're supposed to be working. That's my bathroom. And I don't know what they're doing in there. I'm asking them to play softball for me. Oh, I'm so sorry.
All right, Robert Green with a mandatory softball team that some people don't want to play on. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hold on for a minute. All right, I'm talking with Robert Green. He has a company softball team. It is mandatory. It's not voluntary. You have to play on it because that's part of your job at Fraser Foods. He also, it's important for you to beat this competitor, this Kenmore Foods, run by a man by the name of Don Lee, who we spoke with today. Mr. Lee is Asian American, and he was a supplier of your Oriental Gourmet Foods before he went out on his own, which you think is stabbing you in the back.
Well, yes, sir, it is. I mean, I got him started. I got Don Lee started in the Oriental Gourmet Food Supply business, and then he went out. At the end of our six-month contract, he said, well, you know, I'll re-up with you. When he didn't, he starts this grocery store. Now he's kicking hell out of me over there and my softball team. You know, there are bigger things in life than softball, Phil. I happen to love the game. And I can tell you something, when you talk about Karen Garnett, the one who has the
problem.
Now, she's insulin diabetic, and she didn't want to play last Tuesday night because she was feeling tired, and you put her on suspension.
Let me tell you a story about her. Karen was coaching us at third base last season. We were in a late-season game. And one of our guys, a great shortstop, and one of the kids that bags for us, a kid by the name of Johnny Jeffries, hit a double up the alley. I'm trying to score from first base on the double. She's waving me home. Now, I have, and you can laugh if you want, but I happen to have, and I've spent an awful lot of money, about a $15,000 hair system, which is part weave, and it's also, there is what's called a part matted area. And I slid into home base as she had waved me. Now, keep in mind, she waved me home.
She was coaching third, this lady who has diabetes.
Yes. I slide in, the catcher goes up for the ball, his knee hits the top of my head, and the hair system, which is in place with a combination of weaves and epoxy, was jarred loose. And I can imagine it was probably really funny to everybody watching. I was humiliated, and I looked at her in the third base coach's box, laughing her rear end off, and I made a private little commitment to myself. I was really going to get her.
And well, then it's personal.
It's not. No, it's not personal.
It is, because your toupee or whatever.
It's not a toupee, sir. It is.
Well, your hair system or whatever came loose at home base, and it does sound funny.
I can see how it does sound funny. But she's standing there laughing. She's the one that waved me home. Do you understand? A third base coach is supposed to control and coach the runner. Either you hold up at 30 or go home. That's a very pivotal position. She waved me home.
Well, she didn't wave you home just to see your hair come off.
No, sir, I don't imagine that she did. The fact is she made a mistake, and I was the one that was laughed at. In other words, I was the horse's rear end at the end of the day.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene is with us. Here is Charlotte. Charlotte, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to discuss about your comparison with the military and the lady with the diabetes, okay?
Absolutely.
I have a father who has diabetes. And, you know, if he was to stand out in right field underneath the hot sun, he would probably have a heat stroke. What would you have done if the lady had went and she was out in the field and she had that heat stroke from diabetes because she was too hot to play?
Well, two things.
If you think it's just a game.
No, hold on. There's two things. First of all, it's a 7 o'clock at night game. That's number one. But number two, I wouldn't want to see her get hurt. But
well,
by
that's
the same
why did you suspend her then? Because she laughed at you? I mean, that's
were you there
a judgment
that
on your... I mean, if you're the person that tells everybody what they do, it's your fault you put her on third base to coach.
Ma'am,
it's your fault you ran. You should have known, you know.
No, she's the coach. If she's waving me home, the runner has to touch the coach because his back's
to
the plate.
You know, comparing it to a military thing is totally ridiculous. See, I'm a softball softball player. If I had diabetes and I was a military soldier and I went up to my commander came to me and, you know, he said, well, go shoot this person. And you say, and, you know, you look
and
at me and say, well,
no?
Sir, I don't think I can.
Oh,
because
boy, that's
I feel
great.
Bad.
How patriotic are you? That's great.
Right. Well, I mean, you know,
what if everybody else in your unit
was
dead?
In the Marine Corps.
What if everybody else in your unit had been machine gunned and were laying there dead? And here
I mean,
comes the
you
enemy.
Know what?
Are you going to tell the enemy, excuse me, don't attack, I've got diabetes? Yeah,
well,
right.
You know what? The person that might be coming after, you know, you, not
and
have diabetes,
thing, you were
and
there
you know
the
what?
Day,
they're going to be the right person.
When
the lady, I agree with the other lady. You should have your butt sued off.
Hold on. I just made a very good point. You went right over it. If the enemy's attacking you and there's nobody else alive, are you going to tell the enemy, please don't shoot me, I need to take my insulin shot first? Are you
well,
kidding
you
me?
You know what? I'm going to die if I don't take my insulin shot.
So you're just going to surrender? No, that's not the American
you're,
spirit,
you're
Charlotte.
You're just totally, you know what?
Charlotte?
You're making the softball game ridiculous.
No, ma'am, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. I slid into home.
You know, I'm 35 years old, so I'm old enough to know what softball is.
You know what softball
and what
is?
War
it's
is.
A great game.
And war is for all of us,
softball,
not just
when
anybody.
That, when that guy's knee went into $15,000 worth of hair weave, and I'm getting laughed at, and I know it's funny to you. I'm sure it sounds very funny.
Well, it
you
is
know,
amusing.
I could really care less whether you had any hair or not. that doesn't make the difference
that
in what I'm talking
about. The guy was wearing a shin guard that rode the wig.
Well, you know what? You know, I'm going to tell you something even more ridiculous. You know, once I got spider bit and all my hair fell out, but you know what? I got out there and I still had to do what I had to do, whether I got met, you know,
well,
made fun of or not.
Charlotte, I'm not stupid. You're not going to drop dead because you ate a Snickers bar. Come on.
Look, you don't know about diabetes, obviously, Mr. Green. Thank you, Charlotte,
well,
for your call.
Well, you know what?
I gotta run. 1-800-449-8686. Suppose everybody did laugh at you at home plate because the guy's knee hit your wig. You know, is it really wrong for people to laugh?
I don't think it's wrong for people to laugh, but here's this broken-down old diabetic, and I shouldn't call her that.
No, you should not call her that.
Well, Mr. Henry...
You should not call her a broken-down old diabetic. What, are you giving her a mercy job?
There's a lot of people out of work out there, and I took on this diabetic who's taking her breaks all the time to get her insulin. All I'm asking for is one lousy at-bat a week. And instead, she's coaching third, she waves me home, I take a knee to the head, which left me stunned, and when I came to, I'm laying there with no hair. Yes, I know you're laughing. But I can tell you this, sir. I do a lot for my employees.
All right, sir, I didn't mean to upset you. I'm sorry. I'm just... Well, you're telling me you took a knee to the head and you wake up bald.
Sure, yeah. Whatever you say.
1-800-449-8686. We go to Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you doing
good,
tonight?
Good, man. Good.
Hi, Robert. Robert, you there?
Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, I'm married to a diabetic. My husband is. I've been married 25 years. And I know the military will not accept diabetics.
Look,
that are
I'm
insulin
talking
dependent.
About, I had to spend $1,500 to re-epoxy my hair
I'm
week,
just saying,
and everybody's telling me about their diabetes.
I feel sorry for you. I really do. That
now, if I see that Chinaman waving one more softball pennant above his head
of
because the insulin junkie waved me home, I think I'm going to vomit.
That's embarrassing. I agree. All I'm commenting on is the comparison to the Iraq. With the soldier, you'd never find an insulin-dependent soldier.
Oh, you guys are missing my
point. No.
I'm saying that if you are not feeling well and the soldier says that you got to go out there and kill the enemy, you're not going to say, I'm going to surrender because I'm insulin-dependent, okay?
All right, look at nobody's listening to anybody here. Everybody's just making their point. But the fact is, Mr. Green, the lady was insulin-dependent, correct, and she didn't feel well. Why make somebody who isn't feeling well...
I said it to that other woman. You don't put your hands up and surrender and say to the enemy, I'm insulin dependent, I can't shoot
back. You would
back.
Never have that situation. That's a military.
Oh, I see, Nancy. And how do you know?
Because the military will not accept insulin dependent diabetics. My
how
husband
do you know?
Tried.
How do you know?
They won't. You ask them, they'll put you through a health test, they won't accept you.
Who'd you ask?
Her husband's
you go to the
in,
Air Force.
Her
you
husband
go to the
asked.
They will
Where's
not
she getting
you?
Her information?
She's getting... Nancy, tell him. Your husband did what? He enlisted or tried to enlist?
He tried to enlist. He wasn't allowed.
In what service?
Listen.
In what branch of the service?
You
are you making it up?
You are the one that would have the burden of proof here, not me.
In other words, you're just making this up.
No, it's the
What
truth.
Branch of the service was he enlisting in?
In the Air Force.
Well, I don't believe her. She
well, that's
like
your
a liar.
Problem. It's the truth.
All right, Nancy, thank you for your call. And Robert, good luck with the lawsuit, but I don't see how you're going to win this thing. You can't fire somebody because they won't play on your softball team. And
you know something? I need a female quote on Tuesday night, all right? Now, this woman, Garnett, is not available because she's in a... They say she's in a coma. And
oh, that's great. Now she's in an insulin coma. She's in a diabetic coma?
Oh, is this my fault?
Yeah, maybe it is.
Well, the point is I need a third baseman, so did you hang up on those two broads?
You mean the two ladies?
Yes, sir. The two damsels?
Yes, they're gone.
Can I get my number out?
Go ahead.
All right, if you're interested in, we need a third baseman, we need a female. My number is 213-251-3189. My name's Robert Green. And remember, you know, I can put you to work, but I don't want anybody saying, you know, next week, well, I don't want to play third base anymore. I want to play right field. Because, brother, I swear to God, I'll open up an industrial-sized can of ass kick.
Okay. Not whoop-ass, but... all right. 1-800-449... Good luck, Mr. Green. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Got a flashback from our show on Friday. Bobby Dooley of the Western States Homeowners Association was on to talk about the Good Neighbor Initiative she and her husband Steve have adopted. She feels that she can really help other women by telling them about her incredibly active sex life with her husband Steve. One woman, though, Susan Cope, didn't agree over drinks, martinis that the girls were having one night at the community center. Bobby was telling Susan about her sex life, and Susan said that's inappropriate. And then Bobby said, well, you really ought to listen to me because I hear you and your husband are on shaky ground, and that's when she got a drink thrown in her face. Bobby and Steve agree that what happened to Bobby with the drink being thrown in her face is not unlike what happened, well, to a certain man 2,000 years ago going up that hill.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Miss Dooley, whatever your name is, I think you're a sick individual.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. I can't imagine you would compare yourself to Jesus Christ, and I think you're the sick one, and I think you're sick by expressing and telling all these people about something that's very private between a man.
Are you jealous?
Not at all, ma'am.
Well,
not at all.
I think you're the sick one.
Oh, no, I think you're sick, and I think that lady you're talking about should press charges against you for defamation of character and slander.
I think
you're a bitch.
Excuse me, defecation of character?
Defamation, ma'am.
Oh, my God.
You're talking about someone. You're saying their first and last name on the phone.
You didn't,
I think you are an ugly woman.
You didn't use the word properly, okay?
I don't care. You're an ugly woman.
Marcy,
you're very ugly.
Marcy, you mentioned Jesus Christ. I was hurt just as Jesus had been hurt.
I don't care.
Okay.
You're nothing compared. You should be ashamed to compare yourself to Christ, ma'am.
I'm not comparing myself.
You should be ashamed.
No, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus.
I think you're a sick individual.
Marcy, let's let her respond.
I think she's
sick. I understand that you are very angry.
Well, first of all, Marcy, you know, what I have with Steve is real good. And if you don't have that with your husband, I feel sorry for you.
I don't think that's any of your business.
Well, it's none of my business. You're right, because were I to make it my business, I'd probably find out some very sad things. But what I try to do...
All right, now you don't need to get personal with her.
That's right. All right, she doesn't hurt me.
Well, let me tell you what I try to do. I try to tell women how good I've got it. And this woman stands up and says, that's really personal.
It is personal.
And I looked at her and I said, are you for real?
Ma'am, it is personal. Between a man and a woman, your husband and my husband and I, is private. I don't advertise it, and I don't even think you got it as good as you say if you have to advertise it.
Well,
I think that's sad.
You know something, Marcy? I could turn your marriage around by telling you about one night. Just one
care.
Night.
I don't care about one night.
We made love.
Why don't you make a porno movie?
You know something, I'm not disgusting like that. I'm really not disgusting.
You're sad. You're a sad person.
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm the president of our homeowners association.
I don't care if you're the president of the United States. You can't have that woman thrown out of her house. Who do you think you are?
She has no right to throw a drink in my face.
Ma'am, if I was standing in front of you, I'd probably slap you for comparing yourself to our Jesus Christ.
Do you think she has the right to beat an elderly couple, run over a cat?
Ma'am? I hope she sues you. How do you know she did that?
That's a good point. How do you know?
You're a liar.
How do you know she did that?
There's every indication that a woman who would throw a drink, have the guts to throw a drink in my face, would skin animals.
Oh, and you're so precious, aren't you?
Well, do you realize what she did? Hold on a second. Now, that's a good shot. What she did...
Are you watching a tennis tournament? Why are you talking to us?
No, she doesn't care about her daughter playing tennis. She's more interested in telling the world about her sex, which should be very private.
Marcy, I don't want to tell people about our sex, but
you
I
are.
Do want people to know.
You're telling people on the radio.
Anyone that would have the guts to throw into Bobby Dooley's face a dirty martini would run a beagle over with a Humvee.
Ma'am, I think
at
you're
the
sick.
Drop of a hat.
I think you're very sick.
Well, you've said that, but you haven't proved anything.
I think you're exaggerating, and I think you got some problems.
Well, you know something? Maybe you're just jealous, and that's okay.
Of you?
Yes.
I think you're a joke.
Of course of me.
No, I think you're a joke.
How am I a joke?
You're a joke.
I'm a joke because...
You're neurotic, and you're a joke.
Because I got it real good, and my daughter's winning in the mixed doubles, too. Are you jealous of that, too?
I don't care. Why aren't you watching?
Okay, here are the things that make
me
better than you. No, my daughter's a good tennis player. Steve and I have good
sex. But you'd rather talk on the phone about your sex life instead of getting into your daughter's tennis bed.
I'm the Homeowners Association president, and you're jealous of
all... I don't care who you are.
And you're jealous of all those things.
I don't care who you are.
Those are all three things that I have that you don't have.
I don't
care what you have, honey. I've got a wonderful life.
Okay.
And I don't have to get on the radio or tell all my neighbors about my sex life.
Okay, here's how
you're
I have it better than
person.
You. Number one, I drive...
Never mind.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Good Lord. That's a couple of wacky kind of kooky chicks. There's Bobby Dooley and Marcy from our show last week. And Bobby said that, you know, she's just got it so hot with Steve, man. She just wants to let all the women know, and maybe by telling them, they'll at least know that someone's got it good, even if they don't. That's what I call a real good neighbor, huh? Are you telling me this for my benefit, or are you just telling me this so I'll know at least somebody has a good life? Just so you can know I'm having it good, even though your life is about as interesting as watching a mailbox open and shut. And then she said, when she got that drink thrown in her face, that dirty martini, now she knows how our Lord felt. You know, there's a lot of that going around, you know? There's a lot of that going around, man. When I read that quote from the brother of Martha Stewart that, yeah, the Passion of the Christ, you know, I couldn't help but think about Martha. I thought I was going to laugh until I strangled. That Passion of the Christ, the sooner that gets out of the movie theaters, Mel or Bert, I was going to call him Bert. Now, why did I want to call him Bert? Why does he remind me of Burt Reynolds? I just, the sooner that gets out of the theaters, Mel, and on to pay-per-view, the better for all of us. Although it was a hell of a movie, I'll tell you that. It's one hell of a movie. A little violent, though. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. By the way, a copy of the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD can be had on our website. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. All the money that we raise from the sale of our CD, all of it goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. Go to www.philhenryshow.com and buy The Future of Talk Radio, The Death of Talk Radio.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We're joined this hour by Dean Wheeler from the U.S. Out of Iraq Committee. It's based out of Novato, California. Today's news has a story about a French lawyer who's volunteered to become Saddam Hussein's attorney in any possible war crimes trial. This man's name is Jacques Vergier. Now, I know, Mr. Wheeler, you're opposed to the ongoing prosecution of this war in Iraq. Do you have any comments about Saddam Hussein and the possible war crimes that this man committed? Because I think on some level we have maybe two different things. We're talking about a war, and we're talking about a man whose leadership of a country might have been in violation of international law.
Well, Phil, as you know, all of us who are opposed to the war in Iraq, by extension, believe that the removal of Saddam Hussein, therefore, had to be illegal. You can't. It's difficult for those of you who favor the war to understand this, but it was illegal. The action taken by the United States of America was illegal. And therefore, to say that Saddam Hussein was removed from power legally would be also a contradiction. So we are therefore opposed to the illegal removal of Saddam Hussein because we're opposed to this illegally prosecuted war.
Well, this puts you in an uncomfortable position, doesn't it, to put Saddam Hussein back in power?
I don't think it's uncomfortable. I think most of the people who have favored the prosecution of this illegal war have a hard time understanding that it does take some study. We're in favor of reinstating Saddam Hussein only because his removal was clearly illegal. It went against all international law and went against the will of the UN. And truly, other than the dubious accounts of his actions in his own country, and many of these accounts are still under review as to their veracity.
Well, did you see the films of people being thrown off the rooftops?
I saw those films. Yes, I did.
These were people who were being thrown from the roofs of buildings. These were political violators. Do you think those are apocryphal?
No, I know that those were actions that took place within the territorial integrity of Iraq. But we're talking about an illegal war, one that violated international law. And the anti-war movement at least has the morality to say we must be consistent, and we must say that this is an illegal act. And really, the dishonesty of George Bush, he's the one who lied to us when he said there were weapons of mass destruction. We believed him. And if you want to put someone on trial, it should be George Bush.
All right, Mr. Wheeler, it's no secret to you that I was and I continue to be an advocate of the Iraq War. Having said that, isn't there at least a common ground between the anti-war people and the pro-war people in that we are both happy Saddam Hussein is gone? Now, that was always my understanding.
Well, I think that assumption is a bit premature because you have to understand that the anti-war movement is populated by highly principled people, highly moral people. To remove this tyrant from power might have been good if you and Mr. Bush had simply said, well, we're going to remove a tyrant from power, but you lied and said there were weapons of mass destruction. And we in the anti-war movement reject this kind of immorality and this hypocrisy.
Well, you know, there's a lot of questions I got to ask you. You're like, okay, all right, so in other words, if we told the truth, which you say is the truth, I don't think President Bush lied. I think he was misled by intelligence.
We like to say he was misled by his own lack of intelligence.
Well, all of those nice things and those funny cracks about his brains aside, I suppose I could say to you, if there had been a truthful statement, we're going to go in and get this guy just because he's a son of a bee, then that would be all right with you.
If they'd only told us the truth, but they didn't. They lied.
So if they told the truth and said, we're going in just because we want to get him out of there, that would have been okay?
Well, I don't know if it would have been all right, but at least it probably would not have been all right because that is not really legitimate grounds to remove someone from power.
So there's no reason that could have been provided that would have been legitimate to get him out of there.
See,
if they said, well, there's weapons of mass destruction. I won't argue the point with you, but your group is in contact with a French attorney by the name of Jacques Verger, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Who has said he would represent Mr. Hussein. Why are you in contact with him?
Well, the anti-war movement here in the United States and around the world, Phil, has a moral duty to assist, if we can, Mr. Verger's defense of Saddam Hussein for two reasons. Number one, as anti-war advocates, we feel he was removed illegally and should therefore be reinstated. And also, the news we're getting from Iraq is that Mr. Hussein is putting up a rather spirited resistance to his interrogators, and that's of interest to us because it shows that he's not cowed by the American CIA, which in the anti-war movement we've always felt was evil, and possibly they have Osama bin Laden in custody. And if they do, it's also probable that Mr. bin Laden's giving him as hard a time as Mr. Hussein is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler from the U.S. Out of Iraq Committee out of Novato, California, is joining us. The war in Iraq was illegal, and so therefore Saddam Hussein should be reinstated. If nothing else, he should be defended with American dollars. You're asking for American dollars, aren't you?
We certainly are, because we recognize, if the polls are correct, that the American people are now coming around to the notion that Saddam Hussein was removed illegally, that our involvement in Iraq is a debacle, and that we can start out by setting things right, and that would include a moral, highly moral and responsible stand, which says that this man's entitled to the best possible defense, and ultimately to be returned to power in Iraq. That's why the anti-war movement, I think, has been so healthy in the United States and has been so such a tough impediment to you pro-war people. We stand on very high principle.
So because Mr. Hussein may be giving the CIA a hard time, you sort of admire him?
Well, you have to understand the CIA is responsible for so much of the world's suffering. It was the CIA that has most probably had their hand in some of these recent earthquakes in Iran. It's the CIA that has probably had their hand in keeping Canada out of the war, even though we're glad Canada, our brothers and sisters in Canada, aren't in the Iraq War. I think it was the CIA that kept them out, so Canada not being in the war may be actually a bad thing, but even though we're glad they aren't.
How did the CIA keep Canada out of the war, I'd like to know?
Well, I don't know how they did it, but the end result is to have Canada universally hated in America and therefore make immigration between the countries tougher, perhaps thus keeping out innocent Arab citizens from getting here.
Mr. Wheeler, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying here, sir, and
I know I'm frustrating you, Phil, because of the morality of where I'm coming from.
But the logic of your argument that Saddam may be evil, but it was illegal to remove him dishonestly is lost on me. Please explain this.
What
you're saying is, you know, it was illegal to remove him, so therefore we need to put him back, even though you agree with me he was evil.
Yes, absolutely. But you have to understand, see, were you part of the anti-war movement? No, I don't think you were. And
no, I've never been part of the anti-Iraq war movement. I was part of the anti-Vietnam war movement, if that helps.
Well, I'm not old enough really to remember that, but we do admire the people who were in the anti-Vietnam movement because it looked as if they were really organized very well. Right now the international community hates us. They hate America. By someone getting the money to finance the defense of Saddam Hussein, we can win back international approval and win back approval from countries like France and Canada. And the only thing the Canadians want to know is, will America start treating Saddam Hussein according to international law? I've spoken with many of them, and they're very concerned about this. The Canadian people stayed out of the war because it was so immoral. And
I got questions about that.
Well, a cynical man would, okay?
Well, maybe I'm a cynical man, but I certainly got questions about whether countries stayed out of this war on principle, for crying out loud.
Well, again, if he's allowed to be found innocent and to resume his role as that country's leader, I've talked with many Canadians and they agree with me, and many people internationally, we need to be moral, principled, and to understand that the best way to deal with the situation in Iraq right now is to be consistent morally. And it was an illegal war prosecuted without the consent of the United Nations in violation of international law, and therefore the anti-war movement in America and around the world is saying Saddam Hussein must be returned to power.
Well, forget the fact it's never going to happen. You know that, don't you?
Well, he has a very good attorney.
Well, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. 1-800-449-8686. This is David. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, listen. I listen to you quite a bit. As a matter of fact, I just started. You see this guy that you have on? He's just another one of these guys that are anti-American.
No,
you understand?
I love this country.
You are anti-American. You're another one of these 60s guys that were bashing the young guys that fought in Vietnam. You're doing it now. Let me tell you something, pal.
No, you know something.
If this man has weapons of mass destruction, you can bet your bottom dollar that they have them, because who do you think he got them from?
Well, the United States out of Iraq is very focused in brightening the image of the United States. By reinstating Saddam Hussein, we can heal this black eye on our nation.
The knowledge that these people have regarding that issue is first rate. He got the weapons of mass destruction from this country. Do you understand?
I agree with that.
I'm quite sure.
I agree with that.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. This guy's not listening to a thing. If you agree with that, then you believe he has weapons of mass destruction.
No, I'm saying that if he had weapons of mass destruction, he got them from the United States.
But this guy's saying that that we would have first-hand knowledge of it, given the fact that we gave him those weapons of mass destruction.
That is correct, but I don't believe he has them. And I think what you're doing is you're just chasing your tail on this one, Phil.
No, you're chasing your tail. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler joins us. The anti-war movement in America would like Saddam Hussein ultimately returned to power because it was an illegal prosecution of a war. It was in violation of international law, and therefore his removal from power was illegal, and therefore he should be returned to power. They're also collecting money, and we're going to give that address out here in a moment, for his defense. The attorney is a guy by the name of Jacques Verges, V-E-R-G-E-S. He's a French attorney, naturally, who's going to defend Saddam Hussein. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The epitome of radio. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with a Mr. Dean Wheeler. He's with the Iraq out of U.S. out of Iraq Committee in Novato, California. Before we get to some phone calls here, our number is 1-800-449-8686. You've stated that Saddam Hussein is sort of an admirable guy because he's giving U.S. interrogators from the CIA a tough time, that the prosecution of this war was illegal because it wasn't sanctioned by the United Nations, and that his removal from office was therefore illegal. And though he, by all rights, should be back in power.
Well, you keep sort of harping on this, Mr. Henry.
That's your position, isn't it?
No, our position is that Saddam Hussein is a terrible... Don't make any mistake. He was a terrible tyrant. But...
That's the thing with you guys. He was a terrible tyrant, but... I mean, what do you stand on this, man? Do you like him in there or you like him out of there?
We're glad he's gone, but we don't like the method that was used. And so, therefore, we feel it is morally our obligation to send money to his defense attorney.
You're glad he's gone, but you don't like the method that was used, and so, therefore, you're sending money to his defense attorney. Now, what if this guy gets Saddam Hussein off? Saddam Hussein becomes a free man and is able to resume power in Iraq. Will that be good?
I think what it'll be, Phil, is this, and I know you're angry, and I want you to mute your anger a little bit and just please hear me, okay?
No, would that be a good thing if the guy was back in power?
Please just mute your anger and hear me. It would not be a good thing for the Iraqi people if he were back in power. You're right. But it would be highly moral and good for the world if he were back in power because international law would be upheld.
Great. So let's torture a few more Iraqis, but we can all feel good in the rest of the world? See, this is what I don't understand, man. And
well, it's difficult for you people who've been rattling the sabers for so long to understand individuals such as myself. I come from a highly principled area, and we in the anti-war movement are very, very principled and moral.
1-800-44. Yeah, it's some way you say that. It's just
it bothers you. I can hear the anger in your voice.
Yeah, there is a way that you say that's bothering me. 1-800-449-8686. Mark, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead,
Mr. Wheeler.
Yes, hello.
I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
United Nations Resolution 1147 gave the United States or any other member nation of the United Nations the power to take Saddam Hussein out because he did not live up to the promises that he made to the United Nations.
Well, that's up for a discussion, really, because the United Nations Security Council had not yet given the go-ahead. And so when we went in, and you have to understand we made a lot of enemies, and we were respected around the world, and now no one likes us.
Well, I don't think it's so much that they don't like us. I think it's because we have a powerful nation, and people don't like us. And the only reason that the French is going to defend him is because the French don't want to fight anyway. The only reason they don't want to fight is because they think diplomacy is better.
Well, and I think diplomacy is always better because it saves lives. And Saddam Hussein, I don't like him. Please understand, I don't like him, but I wish he was still in power.
See, you hear that? That's what I'm having a hard time with. That's what I'm having a hard time with. You don't like him, but you wish he was still in power.
Yes.
You wished he was still in power so he could go to the north and gas and kill more Kurds and fly his airplanes and helicopters in the no-fly zone and watch them all get shot down?
Well, I'm an anti-war activist, and so I don't know anything about that. But
you don't know anything about people being murdered by their own leader? You don't know anything about people...
All I know is that President Bush lied when he said there were weapons of mass destruction. And
you know, I had this argument with somebody earlier. I said, look, the means may suck, but what about the ends? Okay?
The ends never justify the means, Phil. You know that from school.
Well, the ends might not justify the means, but yet they found a Russian MiG buried in the sand.
Well...
with no wings on it. They found the wings later... fully loaded with armament. Now, that right there is a weapon of mass destruction.
Well, wouldn't you rather America were more like Canada and Switzerland?
Canada
doesn't have an army to begin with.
I say bravo to Canada for not having an army.
They couldn't invade their own neighbor if they wanted to next door.
They couldn't invade themselves.
Oh, that's very funny. That's really good.
Anyway, thank you, Mark. 1-800-449-8686.
That
That's the kind of... We want the international community to look upon our great country as a friend to all. We want to be the world's new best friend.
Why do I think I'm talking to Mr. Rogers here? I mean, you know...
No, Mr. Henry, it is your cynicism, I think, that blinds you to the things that our world needs.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Amy, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, Amy.
Hi. You know, I want to say that I'm against the war just as much as the other guy.
Bravo, Amy.
But I do have a point that Saddam Hussein should not be in power, regardless if the war was illegal. The things that he would do to instill hate in the children that are suffering, and for you to be an anti-war person, you have to be a human activist. And the human activist would not agree with what he did to his people.
Yes, but we took
the
out.
Human rights
just
were
because, Amy, I want
destroyed,
you to...
and they're going to come
yes.
back
Listen.
Two times fold on us if he gets back into power,
now,
regardless
Amy,
of how he was taken out.
But just because Saddam murdered people doesn't mean he shouldn't be in power.
No, you know, regardless if he should or should not be in power, look at what he did to his people and why they hated us.
Now, what do you think about that, Mr. Wheeler? Look at what he did to his own people.
And how they hated us, and they come over here and did it to us because of the leadership in their country.
We need to make an example of that. We're a kind of
and we are over there rebuilding their nation, giving them the power and the means to do even more than they did before. And if he goes back
to the
power
of
the money that our president has put over there,
are
you
not looking at all these people?
Hello? Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We'll
be
back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Talking with Dean Wheeler of the U.S. Out of Iraq Committee from Northern California. There's a part of on your website, there's a section of your website that says, waking up against the war. And you go on to talk about how good it feels to be a person against the war against the war in Iraq because you are morally superior to people who are in favor of it.
No, Phil, I don't think we said that.
Well, you use the terms moral superiority.
No, what we're saying is it feels good to get up in the morning and know that you are completely consistent with your opposition to the war in Iraq. It was against the UN Charter, and therefore it was wrong for us to take out Saddam Hussein. And whether he murdered many of his citizens, I think it's very unfortunate. I don't agree with that. I know that a lot of people are up in the air about it, but I personally think it's wrong. You can't just go in and take him out without the United Nations approval. Otherwise, you become the worst terrorist the world has ever known. And that's what we are today. The United States is the worst terrorist that the world has ever known in its history. Because we went in and we took out this man. And
even though he murdered his own people and...
Don't keep bringing that up, please, because it only serves to sway people and obfuscate my argument.
I'm going to keep bringing it up. He murdered his own people, okay? There. Even though it's not consistently logical, that's the whole thing.
Well, what we're saying, and you asked me about a portion of our website, we want the world to like us again. We want the world to like us again. And that's what we tell the kids. We do a lot of outreach in schools. And would you like the world to like us again? And the kids all go, yay. And that's how I feel.
It's one thing to convince third graders, sir. It's quite something else to convince the voting electorate. 1-800-449-8686. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how are you gentlemen doing?
Fine, sir.
Hello, Jason.
I just wanted to say that I'm about as middle of the road as you can get, and I can understand where you're saying, well, you think that we went the wrong way about this, from
yes.
a purist standpoint.
Of course, yes.
I can understand that. But, and I had a little opposition as far as the risk to our own troops' lives.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
But I have to say, though, I mean, when you look at what was accomplished,
what was accomplished was an illegal action.
Oh, hold on, but I honestly think that it was done for the best of intentions, and in the end, it really did work out for the best.
Well, but look, now sitting in U.S. custody, and it's like arresting someone and putting him in a squad car, and not, you know, what did I do wrong? Well, you just exist. That's what you did wrong.
That's not what he did. He didn't just exist.
I mean, there's no...
He committed acts.
We have three main initiatives. Stop wasting the time of our soldiers. Put everything back as it was and make people like us again. And wouldn't it be nice...
This isn't a popularity contest.
People liked us.
We have to do what's right.
Right. I agree with Jason. Sometimes doing the thing that is right is the least popular thing. And you want us to be popular?
Let me tell the two of you about a time not too long ago in America. And there was a wonderful song out. It was called I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. I'd like to build the world a home. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And furnish it with love. Well, Coca-Cola took it and they turned it into a radio commercial. I'd like to, you know, buy everybody a Coke, you know. And that was fun. And when we look in the mirror and we see a middle...
What are you talking about, Mr. Wheeler?
When we look in the mirror and we see a Middle Easterner looking back with a smile, then we are on our way to harmony in the world. Because inside of every American is a Muslim screaming to get out.
Disagree with that.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
I disagree with that.
I think that what you're saying is really nice, and it's very, you know...
Wouldn't it be nice?
Idealist, but, you know, this is a real world, and there's tough things that happen, and there's tough decisions, and there's men that have to make these decisions for the betterment of us all.
And what if they
and
made
sometimes,
those...
Sometimes,
yeah, I know, Jason.
Sometimes it's not so
what
easy.
If they made
sometimes,
those, what
look,
if they made
sometimes
those
we don't all agree.
What if they made those decisions? I'd like to teach the world to sing Coca-Cola.
Why don't you sing that to Saddam? You know, maybe he would like
you know
it.
What?
Maybe
I...
he should have done that. But
yeah,
you know
try
what?
Singing that one through
and
the glass.
Got taken out.
Yeah, get on the phone with Saddam, look through the pane of glass, and start singing that song.
I know, and let's see what he says about that.
You know, you gentlemen are very cynical, but I bet you if I
no,
did,
I'm
he,
not cynical. Not at all. Not
go,
at all.
You know,
but I'm about as cynical
right.
as you are in a protective bubble. I mean, this is.
I'd like to build a world at home.
All right, Jason, thank you for your call.
I just would like to build a world at home.
Thanks for hearing me out.
Thank you, sir.
Gentlemen, have a good night.
Thank you very much, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sherry. Go ahead, Sherry. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey.
Hi, Sherry.
My point is that Saddam Hussein himself is a weapon of mass destruction. He's the weapon. And
well, Sherry, that's very poetic, but hardly to the point. The United Nations...
I'm not a poet. I'm a realist.
...what a weapon of mass destruction was, and it wasn't a... Have you ever seen the Coca-Cola commercial where the polar bears hold the bottle with
look,
their paws?
Will you forget about that, please?
You're insane yourself, like Saddam Hussein. Oh, I am a poet. Saddam Hussein's insane. Listen,
you know,
let me tell you something.
Tells
my son-in-law
you have a lot
is
of friends.
In Special Forces at Fort Bragg. And he is all for this.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He
for
would
that.
Risk his life.
Oh, I feel so terrible for you.
Why?
Terrible
son,
for me. I feel son, honored.
That her son is now picking up arms against his brothers in Iraq. Sherry. The fact
you
what,
know
what do you mean brothers in Iraq?
Life.
You think those scumbag Chechens and Iranians that are over there with Al Qaeda are brothers? Is that what you're saying?
So, there was a man who,
ask me that again because you're not making any sense.
I'm asking you, Sherry, do you really feel good about your son picking up a weapon and putting on the uniform of the world's greatest terrorist to go over and kill innocent Iraqi babies?
Oh, come on.
Oh, please.
Come on.
Oh, please. You know, I tell you what,
you know,
you've got very
you
little
people.
To say. I think you're on the air because you want attention. I think
yeah,
you're
it sounds
doing
like
this
you're,
for attention.
Sounds like you're an attention hog.
What I am is a man looking to keep this country from engaging in illicit wars, and this one was, and illegally
why don't you go live over there?
You know,
if
Sherry,
you make it so great over there. Why don't you go live?
Sherry,
over there?
I wrote you a poem. I wrote you.
Why
poem.
Don't you why
listen
don't
to
you
this?
Join
I wrote you
army.
A poem. Sherry, Sherry, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? With Muslim friends and Islam pals and pretty burkas all in a row.
Listen, Muslim,
see?
By the way, is a religion. I heard your little comment a little while ago.
What did I do?
You said inside of everybody is a Muslim. What? That's a religion.
Inside of every American is a Muslim screaming
a Muslim,
your rib out.
Muslim is a religion.
A Muslim's a religion?
Yeah.
I wasn't familiar with that.
Yeah. Islam is the religion that Muslims practice. Islam is the religion. The practitioner
well,
Islam is a religion, but Muslim.
They are called Muslims.
So he's called an Islam.
Just because you live over in that country, you're not a Muslim.
Are you? Well, what are you?
I'm an American.
Well,
and
I know
I'm
you
Christian.
Are, but I know I am, but what are you? That's what my kids used to say. Isn't that stupid? And that's the way we act internationally. Oh, I know I am, but what are you? What I want to do, Sherry, is this.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy?
Yeah.
I'm crazy to want to keep babies from being murdered by members of the Fort Bragg military.
Oh, no, wait a second.
Babies, you would have wanted him to be picked up because he's a slaughter person. I mean, all he wants to do is kill people. All he wants to do is rape.
Well, there's something to be said for that. With the right kind of women, I guess that was in bad taste, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's in horrible taste. Horrible taste.
I'll tell you what.
Roses are red, violets are blue.
Say, and you're trying to be real trivial about it.
I think you
it.
Are being kind of
serious
stupid.
Matter.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a member of the anti-war movement in America, okay?
So why not be trivial? Is that what you're saying?
What else
no,
are
I'm
you
not...
a member of? Anything else that you can get attention by being a member
I happen
of?
I happen to run a bloody class.
So that you can get in the middle
class.
Of it and cause a stink?
I run five bloody classes a week. Roses are red, violets are blue. Sherry sure would look good with a Muslim or two.
Let me tell you something.
Oh,
I also
boy.
Have a son-in-law that is from the Middle East.
And what murdering military unit is he a part of?
He's not a part of any of it. He was so happy when he got conquered, and he was jumping up and down.
Did you ever see Bill and Ted's Adventures? Oh, dude, you're so totally conquered. Did you see that?
Why do you keep referring
you know something?
To other
He's an imbecile.
Instead of getting to the point?
Get to the freaking
the
point.
Here's the point, Sherry.
You want to dodge the bullet,
I'd like
don't
to
you?
Teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company.
Let me
I'd like to
something.
Rock
you
the world
like
back and
idiot.
Forth and burp
You're talking
it like a baby.
In riddles yourself.
Yeah, you sound like a moron.
I'm a moron. I'm talking about burping the world like a baby, and I'm a moron. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
He hung up. He hung up. Sherry, thank you.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. What a bozo. What do you want again?
Well, I wanted to call back and finish the song.
You want to hold the world in your arms and burp it like a baby, huh?
Mm-hmm.
There he goes, Dean Wheeler. Hey, the guy's got a point, man. It's not logical. If it's an illegal war, then it ain't logical. Then it's illegal to take the guy out. And then guess what? I think the cat's going to walk. I think Saddam's going to walk. He's going to go before The Hague, and they're going to go,
well, you know what, Mr. Hussein? You were illegally taken out by the United States military, we being the presiding panel of judges from France. And we realize that international law recognizes that even though we think you're a scumbag, we want you back in power because you're holding about, oh, I don't know, a few billion francs of our money.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. But, of course, if you're my brother-in-law dumbass, the French were opposed to it in principle. All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
From our show last week, Justin McElroy, high school senior at Canyon High School in Los Angeles, was on to defend Kobe Bryant. He says you can't score 36 points in a late season important game and be a rapist. And a caller called to say that this kid is mentally diseased. And Justin said, well, you ain't no psychiatrist.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You made a comment earlier that well, you're degrading women through a lot of your comments, and you made a comment about your mother being a slut wearing tight pants and everything.
Well, yeah, she
and,
is.
Well, hold on, Justin. Just hear me out for just a minute. I think what you need to do, you need some counseling because you have some deep-seated issues against women. Now, maybe your mom's lifestyle hasn't been one of a mothering, nurturing nature to you.
Oh, my God, you sound like the psychiatrist my parents sent me to.
No, I'm just...
You do, you sound just like the psychiatrist my parents sent me to, like, 2 years ago,
well,
because I wanted to slit a dog's throat. And they go, we got to say...
You wanted to slit a dog's throat?
Yeah, because all they're doing is, hey, Justin, hey, do this, hey, Justin. And I just wanted to go kill a cat or something.
Hey, Justin, look, you should not, any time that you feel that you have to take a life,
okay,
whether
Dr. Melfi.
An animal,
okay,
whether it's
okay,
an
Dr.
animal or a human
hold,
being,
George, hold on for
something
a minute.
Wrong.
George, hold on. Don't call him Dr. Melfi.
Okay, Dr. Melfi.
Don't do that, okay, kid? That's mocking and it's stupid.
Well, he thinks he's like Dr. Melfi, all sitting there going, oh, hey, Tony, I don't want to have sex with you because, you have issues. You have deep-seated issues. Okay?
Well, Justin,
all I'm saying, George,
it's clear that you have some issues. Look, see, first of all, you are putting your faith in another human being. What you need to do is not degrade women the way that you're degrading women.
What are you talking about? How would you feel if you saw your mom walk in with pants so tight you could see the whole area? It makes me sick and I want to pee. Kobe's mom wouldn't do that, okay? Kobe Bryant, who has a mom, is respectful and wears clothes that, don't show you stuff that you don't want to see. Because old ladies make me want to puke and everything. And,
okay.
And also,
Hey, Justin.
Oh, God.
But listen.
I want to kill a cat or something.
No, Justin, listen.
Look
to me.
It, dude.
What you need to do...
Hey, you know what you remind me of, man? Listen to this. Listen.
What you need
I woke
to
up this morning, and I got a gun. Check it out.
Hey, turn that off, kid.
Why? That's what the guys do.
Turn it off and quit making fun of my callers.
He's coming on like Dr. Melfi. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Oh, I'm sorry. Want a mess?
Hey, fool?
Hey, fool, you want a mess? I mean, that's what it's about.
Yes, sir. Turn the music. Put the kid on hold.
If the authorities out there, wherever, well, you're in California.
Yes, sir.
If the authorities are listening to
this conversation. He's a psycho. I don't think the kid is really serious. I think he's saying, I hate adults, and I want to get the... I thought that this kid was making a point about, he got a teacher put on administrative leave. His parents are... Would you turn that music off, kid?
I got myself a gun. Word up,
Phil, that's an accident.
You don't know what time it is out on the street, fool. You don't know what time it is out on the street, fool.
Turn that freaking music off.
Hey, Phil, that's
yes, sir.
An accident. That's an accident waiting to happen. If the authorities are listening to this,
yeah,
some sort of authority should take charge.
Right.
This kid needs some help.
Thank you very much, George.
This kid needs some help.
And I apologize for his smart mouth to you. You're making some good points. Thank you. 1-800-449.
I got myself a gun. Got directed by Timothy Van Patten.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Real freaky kid there, Justin McElroy. I just wanted to go and slit an old lady's throat. All right, so that's Justin. Hey, what do you guys think of this as we close the hour out? Condoleezza Rice as the Vice President of the United States. What do you think? What do you think of that? You know why I don't like it? Those brainiac national security advisor types, like Kissinger was one of those. It'd be like me asking you this. Would you like Henry Kissinger to be president? Not really. I thought the guy was smart. But you got to be a people person. Look at Bush. Look at Kerry. Look at these guys. They're all out there snowboarding, glad-handing, going in, buying drinks. You got to be that kind of a guy. You got to be like Jack Lemmon in Days of Wine and Roses. Just, yeah, magic time. Can't fly on one wing. Just work in the room. Can you imagine her working the room? I mean, she's looks like a nice, very bright lady, but I don't know how popular she is working the room, if you'll pardon the expression. Anyway, that's who they're floating, if you'll pardon the expression, for a VP candidate should Cheney decide, who needs this? Who needs the heart attack? And is Condoleezza Rice a lesbian? Oh, yeah, we got to get... If that woman got nominated to be VP of this country, that'd come poor... Do you think the Democrats are broad-minded about stuff like that? You'll find out, sports fans. Well, here's the story. She's been seen on the arm of Gene Washington, the former National Football League player, and he's now an official with the league office. He has pretty much been her regular date at White House dinners. And let's see, other than that, I don't think they've really seen her with other men. She likes to hang around Camp David playing the piano, and the Bushes basically view her as a surrogate daughter. So she just sort of hangs out with George and Laura. And she, and on her days off, she's at Camp David playing the piano. Now they're talking about her as being a viable VP candidate. Now, here's the thing. It's kind of a little bit of pandering, saying, oh, let's get a female, she's black, and she's lesbian, and on top of that, she's brilliant. Yeah, yeah, that's all real cool, but a lot of that stuff can turn right around and bite you in the ass. My whole thing with Condoleezza Rice ain't the fact that she's black, a lesbian, or a female. It's just, like I said, these national security types, they all got that, kind of that secret agent background. There's something... I just don't see her standing up in front of the American people and going, all right, let's do shots. Come on. Ha! Ha! Just don't see it, baby. But you know what? I think they ought to, I think she ought to get on the ticket just because it'll just pee off. May I say pee?
No, you may not. You can say piss.
Okay, piss off a lot of people.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.